Psalm 92. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Psalm 92. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Psalm 92. 1 Peter 4:19. Let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. 1 Peter 4:19. Let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. 1 Peter 4:19. Psalm 94:19. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 94:19. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm 94:19. Ephesians 1:13. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. Ephesians 1:13. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. Ephesians 1:13. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. What a wonderful privilege it is for us as born-again believers to be able to open our minds and hearts and open this magnificent book and study these eternal principles. God is good to each one of us to make it possible for us to be here this evening, to be able to learn, to grow, to advance spiritually. May we pray together, please. Father, we're here this evening again to express our deep thanks for the fact that we are your children. Not because we are worthy to be your children, but totally because of the expression of God's grace and love toward mankind through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for salvation this evening. We know that the Scripture teaches us, for by grace we're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. So we're thankful tonight that we know without doubt that if the rapture should occur before this night is over, that we'll be in the presence of our wonderful Lord. We thank you for your word. We're thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for the opportunity to study. We pray that we will have a desire this evening to really receive and properly then utilize those magnificent things we learn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to look with me, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, now verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. What is so amazing, please notice, if you will, verses 3 and 4 again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Then verse 5, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. Now verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us, verse 8, in all wisdom and insight. Then verse 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. What I discovered here is that I can go rapidly through verses of Scripture and not give a lot of attention to the specific words in each particular verse. Or either I can take it slow and easy so that you can follow me and we can look at these words word by word. I have found myself in recent days having studied with you verses 7, 8, and 9, but realizing that in those verses I have not been able to fully comprehend with you, study with you, how fantastic these verses really are. I want to mention to you tonight that if Jesus Christ came to receive his own unto himself this evening, that you and I, as born-again believers, will be taken out of where we're sitting, if that should happen during this service, and we'll be, in a moment's time, changed, and we will become the recipient of a glorified resurrection spiritual body, a glorified resurrected spiritual body. The Scripture says, we know not what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There are many things that you and I do not know about what God's plans are for us in the future. But there are many things we do know from the Word of God, and he lets us know that we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This is magnificent. This is that which has been a mystery over a period of time, until God opened the eyes of individuals and brought on a man by the name of the Apostle Paul, who became the communicator to the Gentiles. And you and I live in a magnificent time now, because we're living in the time following the completion of the canon of Scripture in 96 A.D. The verses that we are looking at this evening are taking us back to where we read and referred to in recent sermons. I want you to see that on the screen now we're going to place Ephesians 1:9. I realize that it is impossible for me to present everything in this passage of Scripture, but I am going to point out some specifics. The first thing that I want to point out this evening is that the Scripture says, having made known to us the mystery of his will. We have the Greek word mysterion right here. We're going to look at it in detail. Having made known to us the mystery of his will. His will emphasizes God's plan for us now and in the future. The Greek word here is thelematos. The more I got into these verses of Scripture, the more I was able to see that I needed to come back and present to you, 1 week from tonight, God's eternal purpose for all of us. God's eternal purpose for all of us. It's amazing to me to be able to see just a little bit about the fact that in the eternal ages past, the members of the Godhead, Deity 1, 2, and 3, formulated a plan for us. God formulated a plan for us. Please listen very carefully now. That is described by the word that we're going to study 1 week from tonight, thelematos, his will. But going up here, we see, having made known to us the mysterion, the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. The word that you see in Ephesians 1:9 right here, I'm going to put it on the screen for you to see in larger letters. You will see here that the word is mysterion. I don't intend for you to learn the Greek, but I do want you to be able to see, and you, when you see this enough times, without any trouble, you'll be able to recognize these Greek letters. It is M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, mysterion. If you'll go back and look at the Greek of this verse, it says, having made known to us the mystery. And the word is norizo, G-N-O-R-I-Z-O. I don't want to be moving that around where you'll get cross-eyed there. But I want you to see that the Greek word then is to have made known. At a point of time, subject produces action. The participle says that the circumstances are being presented. Having made known to us the mystery of his thelematos, his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. What we have to understand is that the formulated plan of God in the eternal ages past focused attention and focuses attention upon one person. That person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Please put down somewhere this Greek word, mysterion. And notice that in this verse of Scripture, it is having made known to us information relative to the mysterion. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn in your Bibles to Colossians 1:27. I'm going to give you time to find it because you have your Bible in hand. Look, if you will, at Colossians 1:27. What I'm going to do is to put that verse on the screen for you so that you can look at it in your King James or whatever version you have, and you can look at it from the original text. Please remember that I just pointed out to you that he made known to us. And I emphasize the word which is made known. And I wanted you to be able to see that the word is norizo, G-N-O-R-I-Z-O. And I pointed out to you the fact that this is an emphasis, a word that emphasizes a point of time in history that God made known to us. The mystery, mysterion. In Colossians 1:27 we read, to whom God wished to make known. The same Greek word, root word, is used. But in the original language, it's presented to us in a different way. Now, just understand that if I say to you something is made known, and I say it again, something is made known, all you're hearing is that the word is made known. But I want you to be able to see that in the two verses, in Ephesians 1:9 and Colossians 1:27, we have the same root word, but we have a different expression in the original language. To whom God wished is the way I translated it. And the reason I translated it that way, to make known, he wished something to take place in your life and mine. And the reason that I see it that way is because that particular word, though the root word is the same, the way that it is used up here is G-N-O-R-I-S-A-I. And looking at that lets me know that that is not a participle. It is an infinitive. An infinitive is a wish, expressing a wish or a desire. Now, if you'll look with me carefully, you are going to be able to see that in the eternal ages past, the members of the Godhead made known But they also, by this verse of Scripture, are letting us see that God in the eternal ages past had a wish or desire for each one of us. God does not want us to be indifferent. God does not want us to be filled with lethargy. God does not want us to be slipshod in our Christian living. God wants us to be determined that we're going to be properly related to Him on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis so that we can fulfill His plan for us in the brief time that we have on this earth. And the brief time, for some may be 100 years. For some it may be 80 years. To some it may be 60 years. To some it may be just a few years. A few years beyond where you are now. I do not know. But this is telling me to whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery. The same word now is being used, mysterion, in both of those verses of Scripture. In the first one, it talks about the fact, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, in Jesus Christ. But here it says, to whom God wished, this is the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God writing to the Colossian believers, to whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Now you see, we're expanding here. We're seeing something different. We're seeing, for instance, the Greek word ploutos, plutos, from which we get the word plutocratic. Riches. To me, for God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles. Now, immediately we're going to be able to see, and I want you to follow me, when you go through, for instance, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will discover Jesus Christ there as He's dealing, especially in the 15th chapter of the book of John, Jesus is dealing with the disciples. And He's preparing them for the fact that just out ahead of them, just a little while, He's going to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. And He says to them, I want you to know that I'm going to leave. And they didn't understand that. But He says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. The Greek word orphanos, orphans. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. They did not comprehend. The Scripture says they did not understand. But what Jesus Christ was doing was telling them at this particular point of time so that later they would be able to comprehend what the meaning was that they didn't receive some time before. To whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mysterion. Then you go back and let you look at it. It is the word M-U-S-T-E-R-I-O-N, mysterion. The mysterion emphasizes the age in which you and I now live, which is the age of grace. I have a diagram, if you can see it from where you're sitting. Here's a diagram of the fact that Jesus Christ came on the scene in the age of Israel. We have what is known as the hypostatic union, Jesus Christ coming, virgin conceived, virgin born, living on the earth for that period of time. From approximately 4 BC to 30 AD, we have Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. Then we have the death, burial, and resurrection, and we have Pentecost. And we look at that in Acts chapter 2. We have what is known then as an inserted time into the age of Israel, an inserted time. That's the reason why we call it the intercalated period of time. You and I are living in this magnificent time known as the age of grace. We're living in that intercalated period of time. We're living in that period of time known as the inserted time that has been inserted down into stopping the age of Israel, inserted down into that period of time. All of us realize that the age of Israel is not completed. We do know, though, that the age of Israel will be completed with the 7 years of tribulation. So after the rapture, after the church age is over and we're taken out of here, then the age of Israel will commence again and continue for those 7 years. That takes us through a lot of different things all the way to what is known as the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in this beautiful time known as the Mysterion time, the age of grace. Now, I can get so carried away that I will spend too much time just elaborating and enjoying myself talking about these things. But I want you, if you will, please, to take a few notes, because I think it's important that you not only have it in your mind while I'm saying it, but that you'll have a jotted few notes down so you can think about it in the future. We're looking at Ephesians 1:9 and Colossians 1:27, and we're looking at the word mysterion, mystery. The definition that we need to see is that this Greek word, mysterion, which means secret teaching, it comes from the Attic Greek noun, which is M-U-S-T-E-S. You can see, if you look at these letters in the Greek, you can see the closeness of it. It refers to a person being initiated into a Greek fraternity. You have to get a background and understanding of what this word mysterion means. It comes from the Attic Greek word, noun. The word is mustes, M-U-S-T-E-S, and it refers to being initiated into a Greek fraternity. Now, if you will, please, go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I'm giving you time to find it. It's important that you look at it with me this evening. Matthew 13, verse 11 and following. I'm giving you time to find it. It's important that you find it and look at it. He answered and said to them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." Now you'll have to notice that the word mystery means known to some and unknown to others, a secret. He answered and said to them, again verse 11 of Matthew 13, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." It's powerful for you to be able to see that some people see and cannot see. And some people hear and cannot hear and do not understand. What's sad is that that is true in our day. Some people who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, or say they have no comprehension of God's plan and the magnificent, wonderful design that He has for every individual, formulated in the eternal ages past. That is true right here in Matthew 13. However, verse 13, "I speak to them in parables, because while they're seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand." That's Matthew 13. I should read on down through verse 15, but let me take you then now to Mark. Turn, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter 4. We're going to only look at two verses here, 10 and 11. Mark 4, 10 and 11. "As soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began to ask him about the parables. And he was saying to them, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside get everything in parables. The definition of mysterion is now given to you again on point one on the screen. The Greek word mysterion means secret teaching. Number two, the word in the New Testament always refers to the church age information about which we've already been speaking today. The word in the New Testament always refers to the church age information. What I've given you in the past, and I trust you remember it, that we have prophets of the Old Testament as they look down over the period of time in prophecy. There were certain things they could see and there were certain things that they could not see. And throughout the Old Testament, we could take you to about 8 or 10 different verses of Scripture where if they had known about the church age information, it would have been inserted in those particular verses, either between one verse and the next verse, or sometimes even in the midst of a verse. Prophets of the Old Testament were limited in the fact that they did not have given to them the age of a church information. The word in the New Testament always refers to the church age. And you find that in Ephesians chapter 3. So I'm going to ask you now to look with me at the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. And let's look at verses 2 and following. Remember that the Apostle Paul is speaking to a group of people. And he says, I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the sake of you Gentiles. Not Jews, but Gentiles. If indeed you've heard of the stewardship, the administration of God's grace, which was given to me for you. Now notice verse 3. That by revelation that was made known to me, the Apostle Paul, the mystery, as I wrote before, in brief. The Apostle Paul is telling us here as he's writing to these individuals, I want you to understand, he's in prison, of course, as you all know, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship, the administration, the dispensation of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. Then verse 4. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery, mysterion of Christ. What I want you to be able to see with me tonight is how blessed we are as born-again believers in this magnificent age of grace, where we are able to study the Scriptures and we're able to comprehend this magnificent subject of the mysterion, the mystery. That by revelation, verse 3 again, there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. Then verse 4. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Folks, what I'm trying to do tonight is to let you see that you and I should not remain if we are at a point where we don't comprehend and understand what is being presented this evening. We ought not to let a day go by until we begin to research and study God's truth to the point that we have comprehension and understanding of the time in which we are now living. Notice, if you will, and by reverse forward, again, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, verse 6, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Oh, how could I tell you how fantastic it is that we're able to read these verses. The word in the New Testament always refers to church age information. Ephesians 3, 2 through 6 emphasizes the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit, which of course is an emphasis upon Pentecost. Number 3, on the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, all believers were entered into union with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you have information about the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ. All of this occurred in what is known as the Age of Israel. It was not a mystery. The tribulation is also well described in the Old Testament. And it's not a mystery, because it too belongs to the age of Israel. The second advent and the millennium are also described in the Old Testament. It was not church age information. I realize that I don't need to go rapidly there, because all the things that I'm saying at that point need to be weighed in your thinking so that you can comprehend what is being said. I repeat. In the Old Testament, you have information about the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Christ. But all this occurred in the age of Israel. It was not a mystery. The tribulation is also well described in the Old Testament. Not a mystery, because it belongs to the age of Israel. The second advent and the millennium are also described in the Old Testament. It was not church age information. Point number 4, the mysterion concept of the church age was not revealed in the Old Testament, and the church is the fraternity with the ability to comprehend. Wow. This is presented to us, and I won't take the time to elaborate Romans 16, 25, and 26, and then the passage which we looked at, Colossians 1, 27, but Colossians 1, 26 and 27. Number 5. Jesus was the first person to reveal church age information in the age of Israel. If you've been following me tonight, you've been able to see that I pointed out some things about what you find in Matthew and Mark and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels. And you'll find as you follow the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, He was saying to His followers, I'm going to be leaving you soon. And they said, you're speaking to us in parables and we don't comprehend. What do you mean? He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to leave, but I will return. The mystery concept of the church age was never revealed in the Old Testament. And the church is the fraternity with the ability to comprehend it. We are able now to understand it. Jesus was the first person then, number 5, again, to reveal church age information in the age of Israel. Jesus, the prophet, presented this concept which had not been presented in the Old Testament. Please notice now, we're emphasizing union with Christ. We're emphasizing the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're emphasizing the indwelling of Christ. Those ideas and concepts were not found in the Old Testament. What I'd like to do is to preach about an hour on each one of those. Union with Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of Christ. But please notice that those individual subjects were not found in the Old Testament. Number 6. The church began with the baptism, the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. This had not happened in all history before. Jesus announced to his disciples just a few days before the church age began. In John chapter 17, verse 23, he said, "I in you, and you in me." This was the first declaration of this subject of the mysterion, the mystery. The epistles are the biblical concepts of mystery. God brought Saul of Tarsus into conversion and gave him the ministry to the Gentiles. A person with the gift of the ministry today, number 7, has the responsibility of communicating church age information to the congregation. That's what I'm doing this evening. The pastor has the responsibility of loving the congregation and letting them be able to see that from Pentecost until the rapture, you and I are living in this age of grace, a church age, which has been inserted into the age of Israel, into that Israel line. And the age of Israel is not consummated and will not be until after the 7 years of tribulation. A person with the gift of the ministry is responsible for communicating church age concepts. The Apostle Paul is telling us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Preacher, you have the responsibility of telling the people that we're living in the age of grace, a magnificent time, and unique things are designed for us now. And God in the eternal ages past set out, formulated a plan for us specifically at this time." I have to hasten. Number 8, the rapture does not belong to the age of Israel. Therefore, the rapture is not found in the book of Matthew. Oh, I know what some of you are saying. Oh, I read where it says, two shall be grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. Two shall be in the fields, one taken, the other left. Those verses, since Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels, this is information addressed to the Jews. That has not to do with the rapture. It has to do with the second advent. At the second advent, the unbeliever, under the baptism of fire, will be cast off the earth and into fire. The unbelievers. I wish I didn't have to tell you that, but that's what the Bible teaches. And so my responsibility is to teach what the Bible teaches. An unsaved individual who leaves this life unsaved, the Bible says, will end up in a place of eternal destruction. At the second advent, the unbeliever, under the baptism of fire, will be cast off the earth and into fire. Number 9. The mystery concept is always related to the dispensation of the church. We're talking about the specific word mysterion, dispensation. Mystery concept is always related to the dispensation of the church. Our scripture, Ephesians 1:9 and chapter 3, verse 2. One last point. Look at it, please. Our understanding of this subject is gained by a utilization of the system which the Lord has provided for us, which is a system which we call perception. It is also an emphasis upon not only being perceptive, but desiring, while filled with the Holy Spirit, to receive the thinking, the vertical viewpoint of God. Our understanding of this subject is gained by the utilization of the system which our Lord has provided for us, which includes perception, the filling of the Holy Spirit, and application. Beautiful verses. Colossians 2:2, 1 Timothy 3:9. We call this the grace system of learning, or the grace system of comprehension. We've taught that over the years, and we need to teach it again. The grace system of learning, or the grace system of comprehension. Here we emphasize the difference between human IQ and spiritual IQ. And I want to close with talking just a little bit about that. All of us have human IQ. There's a difference between human IQ and spiritual IQ. God gives each one of us the ability to receive dissemination, importation, distribution of spiritual truths while we're in harmony with our Savior, which means that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, God then gives us the ability to have spiritual understanding. The unsaved person doesn't have that because they're body and soul, not body, soul, and spirit. But the person who is saved like you and me, we have body, soul, and spirit. God has given us the means by which we can comprehend spiritual phenomena. But let me explain something here. Let's say that a person has just become a saved individual. They're a baby believer. What's happening here is that if they're perceptive and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, God is going to give them, while they're listening to the Word, God is going to give them spiritual comprehension. What percentage of comprehension, I do not know, but I promise you, God does not limit any person, no matter where they are, even as a baby believer, as an adolescent believer, as a youth believer, as an adult believer, as a superabounding believer. Don't stay as a baby if you're a baby. Go on in your spiritual advance, understanding that while you're filled with the Holy Spirit, no matter what your particular stage is in your Christian advance, God is going to give you the ability to comprehend and utilize spiritual truths. There's a difference between spiritual IQ and human IQ. Please don't mix those. Please comprehend the difference. And don't say because you feel like you're dumb that you're not going to be able to learn God's Word. Or if you're not even paying attention right now, you need to be able to pay attention and realize that spiritual IQ is when you as a believer are sitting there listening in harmony with Jesus Christ and paying attention to what God's Word says for you. And thank you for listening. I realize that paying attention is sometimes difficult. But let me tell you something. Vertical viewpoint, divine viewpoint, can only come when we take in God's truth while filled with the Spirit, perceptive to God, so that we can increase and enlarge our spiritual IQ. Human IQ is one thing, spiritual IQ is something else. Here we emphasize the difference between human IQ on the one hand, spiritual IQ on the other hand. May we bow for prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours tonight, again to be able to see how fantastic your plan is. We realize that you've allowed us to live in this wonderful church age time. We're living between Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture on the other hand. The rapture could occur at any moment, could occur before this night is over. Help us to understand that it's not going to be long until all of us, no matter how young or old we may be, we're going to be absent from this body. We're going to be in the presence of our Savior Jesus Christ. For those who hear this message tonight who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, Father, I realize that right now they could believe and accept you and be born again. That's what the Bible says. You must be born again. We realize that the question was asked, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Thinking about physical birth, that's not it. It's spiritual birth. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be many right now, wherever they may be, who will realize their great need and accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. We thank you for your matchless grace and your matchless and marvelous blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.